Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Take your Bibles, turn with me please to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. If I count correctly, this will be the 9th sermon on ever-increasing faith. And you say, when you're going to end on that? I don't really know. We're just, until we exhaust this, we're going to continue. Romans chapter 4, and I don't know if you had to put a title to this today, maybe trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust is a hard thing, right? It's very hard. I mean, it's, you know, you get saved and then you're saved by faith through grace. And then as we begin this journey, it begins getting more difficult to trust the Lord, to realize that God does have a plan and a purpose for everything. How many of you believe that everything that happens to you, your life, is not by accident, but God has a plan? Amen? Yeah, he does. I've become more aware of this. I really believe that further along ago and that God brings people into your life, not haphazardness. Just God brings people into your life for a plan and a purpose, and sometimes it'll be somebody that you could witness to. It'll be somebody that could strengthen you, somebody that could be your friend, or God has a real plan for your life, and find true happiness, find the will of God. All right, Romans 4, look in verse 16. Here we're talking about Abraham again. Abraham, the Bible said he was a great man of faith. Now, if we can get a hold of this, it will definitely change your life as a Christian. I'm very concerned that many Christians go through life. They are full of worry. They're full of fear. They're full of anxiety. Their nerves are on edge. Their life is just, they're like a nervous wreck all the time. And one of two things is happening. Either you don't know the truth or you're not applying the truth. And if you know the truth and you know that God has a plan and God is, you say, well, preacher, what about all that bad stuff that happens? Well, I didn't say that God was behind the bad stuff. What I'm saying is God has a plan and he's working in your good favor. There are going to be some things that's going to come into your life that are going to test you. There are some things that's going to try you. Remember the disciples, Jesus said to them, let us pass over to the other side. And they got in the boat and they got out on the Sea of Galilee and the storm arose. Well, God is God and he could have prevented that storm, but he allowed that storm. And it was through that storm the disciples said, how is it that you don't care for us? And they said, they woke him up and they said, Master, we're going to perish. Don't you care that we're out here in this storm in this 20-some foot boat and we're going to go under at any time, water coming over the sides of it? And Jesus said, he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and then he said to them, why is it that you have no faith? See, God put them in a boat, put them in a storm so their faith would increase. God has you where you're at so your faith would increase. Your faith is changing every day. Your faith is changing. Either your faith is getting stronger or it's getting weaker. You could be strong in faith in an area today, and then 10 years from now you could be weak in faith. Amen? Why is it, as a preacher, why is it that folk oftentimes they get saved, and they start serving God, and then all of a sudden something happens, and then you can't find them? I mean, you know, they're out yonder somewhere. Their faith has become weak. Amen. Their faith has become weak. All right, so let's look at Abraham for the next few minutes here to this morning. And he said in verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. And please read this next part with me if you got a King James. If you don't have a King James, don't read it. But if you got a King James, read this next part with me. And in verse number, who and calleth those things which be not as though they were. The things that you cannot lay hold on. The things you cannot see. The things that you don't know about. He said he calls those things into existence. Faith is seeing and believing the impossible. Can somebody say amen? We are to live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. If you can see it and you can touch it and you can feel it, it's not faith. But what you cannot see and you have to believe, then you exercise faith. How many of you want strong faith? Say amen. Amen. Read on. Who against hope believed in hope. If Abraham had looked at his body, if Abraham had looked at Sarah's body, there was no hope. It ain't going to happen. Put it in just a vernacular today. It ain't going to happen. But he believed. Abraham did not have a Bible. Come on, folk. Abraham didn't have a preacher. Abraham didn't have a church. Abraham didn't have radio and TV. Abraham didn't have internet. Abraham didn't have good Christian books. But Abraham believed God. Somebody help me out. That song that the Hollis is singing, when God's the only thing you have, that's all that you need. And when God is all that you have, rest upon him that he is all that you need. All right, read on here. We're going to get to it in just a second. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. He believed to the point, my friend, that he went ahead and changed his name before Isaac was ever born. He was Abram, and then it was changed to Abraham, the father of many nations. Sarah had a name change before the baby was ever born. That's hope. That's believing what God said. Can you trust the Lord this morning? You can't trust people. You can't trust feelings. We're going to come back to that. But you cannot trust your feelings. Your feelings are going to change. How many of you feel good this morning? How many of you feel lousy? RJ's the only honest one in here. That's right. Some of you dragged yourself out of bed this morning. Some of you dragged yourself to church. And once you got here, you're like, whoop, oh, yeah, hallelujah, praise Jesus. But you really, you know, if you were honest this morning, you can't go by your feelings. Your feelings are going to change. Your feelings will lie to you. How many of you ever, you know, you had a, and we're going to come back maybe if we got time. You had a little ache and you had a little pain and somebody said, you know what? I had the same thing. I ended up in the hospital and I ended up with surgery. And you're like, oh my. Have you ever had a little indigestion? You said, it's got to be my heart. It's got to be my heart. Oh, I just know it's a big one, Ethel. It's a big one. You can't trust your feelings, can you, Brother Steve? Your feelings are going to let you down. Your feelings are going to change. Read on. So shall thy seed be. And here it is, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. I don't know if Abraham had a mirror in his day. But one thing is for certain. If he had a mirror, then he couldn't trust the mirror. It's not mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? And the mirror would say, hey, honey, you ain't the one. You ain't the fairest. Look at all them wrinkles and bulges and bumps and bunions. You ain't going to be no daddy. But he didn't trust what he could see. Are y'all with me so far? He did not trust what he could feel. Your body will lie to you. The devil will lie to you this morning. He wants you to be negative. He wants you to be worried. He wants you to be wrapped up in fear. He wants you to think the worst there is to think. Read on. Boy, we got a lot to cover. I'm kind of glad we didn't have a choir this morning. It gave me more time. Amen. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Humanly speaking, scientifically speaking, it was an impossibility for these two old people to have a baby. Impossible. But God specializes in the impossible. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was, say it with me, everybody, he was what? I can't hear you. He was strong in faith. Now let's get into the message here this morning. Our faith, it can be weak, but God wants us to have strong faith. Everybody say that with me. God wants us to have what?
Strong faith.
God wants me to have strong faith. Say that with me. God wants me to have what?
Strong faith.
He wants strong faith. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." You don't overcome the world by your feelings. You overcome the world by faith. Faith is the key. Listen, look up here. Faith is the key to victory in your life. I got my old truck out there this morning. Thank God for it. Amen. 317,000 miles. That right there will start her up. You don't have a key to my truck. My wife don't have a key to my truck. Hallelujah. I've got the only key. Now, I got one hid, but I ain't telling you where it is. You know why? Because if I was to lose it, I know where it is. But here's my point. That key will put it in the ignition, and it'll turn her over. I was at a service station one day. I pulled in to get gas, and like I always do, I always take my key out when I go out to pump gas. You know why? Because I've locked it in there before. Okay, so I take it out. I took my key out, and I put it in my pocket, Brother Darrell, and I went and pumped my gas and got back in, and I took my key there, and I stuck it in the ignition, and it wouldn't turn. I pulled it back out. Stuck it back in. It wouldn't turn. Same key. I just pulled in the gas station with it. I got to looking at the thing. That's 04. That key was 14 years old. It done wore out. And it quit. I mean, there wasn't no chip in it. It just wore out. Thankfully, I knew where the hid key was. And I went under. I'm about to tell you where it is. Same place, George. And I got her started. And you know what I did? I went to the Nissan place and I got me another key made. Threw that out and away because it ain't no good. What am I saying? Faith is what? It is the key that unlocks your life. So I just don't believe that, preacher. Then you're not going to enter into that faith. You're not going to enter into that rest. You're not going to enter into that peace. You're going to be troubled, worried, perplexed. Pull your hair out, walk the floors at nighttime, bite your fingernails off, try to have to take a nerve pill or whatever else. If you don't have faith, my friend, you're not going to have the peace of God. Watch this now. Faith is the key to victory in your life. It is the way to have peace with God. It is the way to please God. Without faith, it is impossible. Every failure, listen to me now, stay with me. Every failure can be traced to a lack of faith.
You're right.
Every victory can be traced to a victory of faith. Faith has to do with what you listen to and what you believe and what you consider. Go back to Abraham. Abraham could not have, the Bible said he was strong in faith. Now just imagine. I don't know how it was in Abraham's day, but I know how it is in my day. Let's just say Abraham goes and hangs out with some of his buddies. His buddies are 100 years old. I mean, you know, most of the time we hang around people the same age we are. Amen. And so Abraham, they go down and they have a cup of coffee, Hebrews coffee. Amen. And so they're sitting down, they're having coffee, and Abraham says, hey, by the way, guess what? God told me I'm going to be a daddy. Are you crazy? What do you got in that coffee, man? What have you been snorting? What have you been drinking? And they laughed at him. I know people, right? If you were to come up to somebody and say, hey, God told me I'm going to be a daddy, and you're 100 years of age, they say, what have you been smoking? What have you been drinking? Because you're off your rocker. But Abraham did not consider what he heard. He didn't consider the other people. He didn't consider Sarah. What he did consider was, God said it, I believe it. Amen. How many of you believe this book?
Amen.
I say, how many of you believe this book?
Amen.
It doesn't become the Word of God. It is the Word of God. You cannot separate the living Word from the spoken Word. Jesus was God in the flesh. Say amen. In the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so, listen, whatever he has here is just as good as if he was walking right here and talking to us today. How many of you believe that? Faith must be fed. Fear must be starved. There you go. Starve your fear and feed your faith. You say, well, you know, it bothers me when I hear certain things, when I talk about that. Well, don't focus on that. Listen, we're not saying it doesn't exist. We're not saying it's not there. What we are saying is, don't concentrate on the negative. Come on, folks. Suppose, let's just suppose, that by the end of the week that you needed $100,000. Let's suppose, by the end of the week. Now, most people couldn't go down to the bank and get that. Now, if you could, raise your hand and I'll go with you. Amen. You say, I've got to have $100,000 by the end of the week. I mean, listen, there's something coming I've got to pay for. And I don't know what, you know, but I've got to have $100,000. Listen, it ain't going to help you one bit to get any money in your pocket by staying up all night and worrying about it.
Amen.
It's not going to help you by pacing the floor and biting your fingernails to the quick. It's not going to put no more money in your pocket.
Amen.
It's not going to help you by getting all worked up inside. It's not going to put no money in your pocket. Say amen. You see, my friend, you may not know where it's going to come through. It's not going to help you by losing sleep, pacing the floor, being worried, talking about it. Is that going to help you get any money? And the answer is no. Listen, God responds not to our needs. God responds to our faith. Somebody help me out. It's not according to your desperation. It is according to your faith. It is not according to your begging. It is according to your faith. You need to lay hold on this, my friend, because there's going to be some situations in your life that you not know how you're going to do it, where it's going to come from, how you're going to get there. And you're going to have to just anchor yourself in God. And you're going to have to say, by faith, I believe it. I'm going to call it into existence. That $100,000, it shall be done.
Amen.
Don't know how it's going to happen, but you believe it. It's not going to help you to talk a lot about it. It's not going to increase your faith. How do you get faith? How do you get faith? How do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Listen to me. It's not just hearing any preaching. It's hearing Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost anointed, Word of God preaching. Oh, you said, preacher, what about that? It's not going to put you any closer to God. It's not going to help you. If you talk about the doctor's report, you say, oh, I got a bad report this week, preacher. I don't know what I want to do. They say I've got the big C word. Preacher, I just don't know. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God. It's not going to help you one bit. Amen? Oh, I'm going to lose some of you on this, but I got to venture here. Go to Isaiah 53 for a second. Would you please? Isaiah 53:4. Y'all believe this book? Say amen.
Amen.
Took me a while to understand this. Isaiah 53. The sufferings of our Savior. Would y'all agree with me? We just celebrated Easter. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he took upon him the sins of the world.
Amen.
Vicarious suffering. What that means is that when Jesus died 2,000 years ago, he took my sin on him and he paid for my sin. Do I need to preach that now? I mean, are y'all with me? Okay. I mean, I believe Jesus, when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he paid for every sin you ever committed.
Amen.
Every sin you will ever commit.
Amen.
Not just in part, but in whole. Isaiah 53, look here for a minute, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our, what's that word?
Griefs.
Stop right there. Now, I'm going to lose some of you on this, but that's okay. That word griefs in the Hebrew, if you don't believe it, look it up. In the Hebrew, it means sicknesses. Can we read it like this? He hath borne our sicknesses. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Read on. And carried our what? In the Hebrew, that word sorrows means pains. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now listen to me. Don't leave me just yet. Jesus, when he died on Calvary's cross, he paid our sin debt. But also, thank God, he paid that debt to set us free. He paid our sickness. He paid our sorrows. He paid our griefs. And thank God, by faith, we can accept that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I know what some of you are going to say. Preacher, I prayed for healing. I prayed that God heal me. And I just don't feel like I'm healed. Can I ask y'all something? How many of you know that you're saved beyond a shadow of a doubt? Raise your hand. Put your hand back down. How many of you got saved by your feelings? If you got saved by your feelings, you're not saved. Amen? Some people shout. Some people cry. Some people run the aisle. Some people don't do anything. But they're still saved.
Right.
Don't talk about the next. Don't say, well, I don't feel healed. My friend, let me tell you something. If Abraham had looked at himself and he said, I don't feel like I can be a daddy. I'm 100 years old. Guess what? He wouldn't have been a daddy. Amen? Your unbelief can kill the blessings of God in your life. It'll stifle them. It'll choke them out. And you have listened to the enemy. And the enemy is targeting your mind. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to worry. He wants you to fret. He wants you to cast all your care on yourself instead of cast it on the Savior. Why? Because if he does, he's got you where he wants you.
Amen.
And you're not living by faith. You're not living by faith. Concentrate on what Jesus did for you. Concentrate on he took my place, that Jesus died in my place. He bore my sin. He bore my sorrows. He bore my sicknesses. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Abraham made a choice. His choice that he made was not based on what he saw in the mirror. Honey, let me tell you something. The choices you make in this life are not to be based on what you think or what you feel or what somebody else tells you. It's based on this blessed book.
Amen.
Preacher, I just don't know what to do in a certain situation. Let him ask of God that giveth all to men liberally and upbraideth not. You say, you mean it's in that Bible for me to quit my job or me to go get hired over at the electric company? God will show you His will through this book. He may not spell it out and say, you quit this job and you go work for it, but God will lead you every step of the way. Amen? You, if you walk by faith. Some people think that unless it's immediate, that all the times their healing don't take place. Honey, I believe in doctors. I believe in medicine. Right. But I believe this, that God is the ultimate one.
Right.
I said this, and I'm not trying to brag. I brag on Jesus. But I want to tell you something. I believe I have been healed of the Lord. I believe God's given me at least another 15 years of my life. I believe this. I was on two diabetic medications. My A1C was going up. The doctors were already talking to me about insulin. My high blood pressure. My high cholesterol. My arthritis. He said, well, preacher, you had surgery. I know people that's had surgery and they didn't have the same results as I had. But thank God I have been healed. I took my vitamin this morning. I took my calcium this morning. And I ate my eggs and sausage this morning. And I'm good to go. Amen. He said, boy, I wish I could do that. Live by faith. Live by faith. Now, oh man, there's so much. Go back to Romans here for a second. Are y'all still with me? Please do. Romans 4, verse 20. Romans 4, 20. Look at this verse here for a second. The Bible said, talking about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. Literally what this means is that he waxed strong. Every time I hear that, I think about that. What was that? Karate movie, Karate Kid. Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. Every time I hear that. Abraham, what did he do? He waxed strong in faith. You know what that means? It was a daily thing that he got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. How many of you have been saved for at least 5 years? Raise your hand. Put your hand down. How many have been saved? 10 years. 15? 20. Here's my point. Have you ever noticed that when you first got saved, God let you take some baby steps? And then after about 5 years or so, then there came some bigger steps. And then 10 years and 15 years and 20 years, you stay at this long enough, guess what? Then when you can look to that mountain and say to that mountain, be thou uprooted and cast into the sea, you may not have been able to do that when you first got saved. But some of you now have been strong in faith for a number of years, and you can say by the good grace of God, there is no weapon formed against me that shall prosper. There's no kingdom that shall stand. The just shall live by faith, and I'm going through with Jesus. You may not have been able to do that years ago, but you can do it now. He waxed. He kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger in faith. It wasn't a surprise to him the day that Sarah gave birth. You can be strong in faith years ago, and now you can be weak. There could be an area in your life that said, preacher, I was strong in faith years ago, but now, preacher, I've lost it. You know why? You know why? Because each day your faith is moving. What determines your faith is getting stronger? What determines your faith is getting weaker? What determines your faith is increasing? Two things. Write them down. We'll be done. Two things. It depends on what you feed it, and it depends on what you exercise. Can I say that again? Your faith is going to be dependent upon what you feed it and what you exercise. Same thing is true physically. Same thing is true physically. In order to be strong, now I am no bodybuilder. I am no gym guru. But there are a few things I've learned over the last 5-6 years that have helped me. At one point in time, I worked with a Christian. He was a trainer, and I paid him some years ago, and he helped me. One of the things that he did was that you are what you eat. Now, I know we don't like to hear that today. But can I tell you something? If you're going to, and some of these folks in here are in the medical field, they can testify to this. But if you're going to get strong in body, you need protein. Where do you get protein? Meat, cheese, eggs. Brother Keith back here, he'll, bless his heart, he'll put two eggs and gulp them down. Or he'll drink a protein shake. He believes in that. Protein, you eat three eggs? You eat with cheese. Amen. Yeah, and bacon. Yeah, hallelujah. I've never met a pig I didn't like. Brother Jessup with the Lord, but I remember, and Miss Bobby's back here, but every Sunday morning, she would fix him ham and eggs. And I asked him one day, I said, what time does she do that? And he told me about it. I said, well, good, I'll be down there. You know, country ham and eggs. I had some a little bit this morning. Some sausage. I don't like that turkey sauce. I like the real stuff.
Amen.
But I had some eggs, and that's all I had. And some coffee. I didn't have any bread. I didn't have any grits. I didn't have any taters. I had that. What am I saying? Protein builds strength, right? But now, if you have a diet of Little Debbie cakes and Krispy Kreme donuts, they may taste good, but that ain't going to build strength. In fact, you're going to go the opposite way. You're going to put on some weight. It ain't going to be the right kind. Can I tell you something? In the faith realm, in the spiritual realm, it depends on what you feed your faith if you're going to get strong or not. Listen, my friend, if you feed yourself on fretting and worrying and doubting and complaining and griping and grumbling, you're not going to get strong in faith. But you know how you're going to get strong in faith? Is you feed yourself on the Word of God, and you read the Word of God, and you apply the Word of God, and you speak the Word of God, and by faith you step out by faith, and you claim the blessings of God, your faith will get stronger.
Amen.
Faith does not come by complaining. Somebody help me out. Faith does not come by worrying. Somebody help me out. Faith does not come by doubting. In fact, if you do those things, you're going to have weak faith. You're going to shut it down. You're not going to have the faith to believe that God can heal your body. You're not going to have the faith to believe that God can heal your home. You're not going to have the faith to believe that God's going to save your loved one. You're not going to have the faith to live this Christian life. If you do those things and gripe and worry and complain and fret and do all that, you're starving your faith and you're feeding your fears. Spiritually, you got to exercise. Well, first of all, you got to exercise physically, if you're going to get stronger. I talked a little bit to Josh Robbins last week, and he's finishing up his education. He's going to be a physical therapist or a doctor in physical therapy. Wonderful. How many of you have ever worked with a physical therapist? Raise your hand. Anybody? I could almost imagine how this went. And so they walk in and they say, Brother Jimmy, We're gonna do this and we're gonna do that, and you'll say, "Oh no, that's gonna hurt."
Right.
Am I not? Huh?
Right.
No, I don't want. They say, "But you're gonna get stronger." Come on, we're gonna do this number. Come on now, come on. We're just gonna do this. We're gonna do this. Come on, do this with me. Come on, Brother Jimmy. Come on, up and down step. Come on. Some years ago, when I worked with a personal trainer, I started out. I was 430 pounds. In 1 year's time, I lost 115 pounds. Sad to say, I put that back on. But during that year's time, I went to the gym religiously 3 days a week. I'd go early. I'd stay late. I was pastoring here, and I was still working a full-time job, but I dedicated. I said, and when I'd go in there, one thing I hated, okay, we're going to do crunches today. Oh, no, I don't like them. I don't like that. Yeah, we're going to do them. You're going to lay down, and we're going to exercise this abdomen. Oh, that hurts. I don't like it. You know what he told me one time? I'm teaching you something that's going to help you as you get older so that you'll be able to move.
Right.
Are y'all with me now?
Yes, sir.
Nobody really likes to be stretched. Nobody likes, you know, you go and you work out or whatever, and you're like, no, that hurts. My arms hurt. My legs hurt. Oh, listen, when I first started that first day, son, I couldn't move the next day. Oh. Hurt, pain. And then you go back in there like a day and a half later, and they, okay, we're going to do the same. Oh, no. You know what he's doing? He's exercising so you get stronger. Friend, spiritually, we don't like to exercise our faith. You know why? It hurts. When God puts you in a position and you have to exercise your faith, oh God, I don't want to do it. God says, yeah, we're going to do it. God, please, I don't want to do it. Yes, you're going to do it. We're going to do this because it's going to help you. You're going to get stronger. But God, I want to be in my comfort zone. I just want to sit back and I want to relax. I want to sit in my TV easy chair. Let me do the mash the button. Let it massage me. No, you're going to get up. And you're going to walk by faith. Amen? Are y'all with me? Nobody likes to have your faith stretched. Nobody likes to have your life stretched. But one thing, how many of you could testify to this? Preacher, I have been there, and my faith is stronger today than it was. Somebody say, glory to God. Let me share one other thing. I got a whole bunch more. Turn with me to Psalm 91. I feel my spirit that I need to share this before we leave this morning. Psalm 91. How many of you found your place? Say amen. I'll wait on you. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place, the shadow of the mighty, of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Look at Psalm 91. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Now watch this. The psalmist said, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in Him, if you're there with me, in Him will I what? I'm going to trust Him. 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 Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He'll cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 5, thou shalt not be what?
Afraid.
I'm not going to be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Somebody's shooting at him. Somebody's got him in their target. He said, but I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not. Why? Because I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. God is my fortress. God is my protection. Can somebody help me out? Do you believe that God is watching after you?
Amen.
God is caring for you?
Amen.
How many times in your past and you look back and you say, thank God I wasn't in an automobile wreck. Thank God I did not fall. Thank God He protected me. Thank God for His divine protection. Hey, listen, if it hadn't been for the Lord.
You're right, brother.
Read on now. Verse 6, I'm not going to be afraid, Joanne, he says in verse 6, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. I'm not going to be afraid that I'm going to get the Zika virus. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid of every mosquito that flies by me and it's got a Z on his back and I'm afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Are y'all with me? I'm not going to be afraid of the pestilence by night. I'm not going to be afraid that I'm going to die from the flu. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to be afraid that I might get cancer. And I'm not going to be afraid that I'm going to have a heart attack or a stroke. I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Are y'all with me?
Go ahead.
I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because God is my fortress. God is my refuge. I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. God's looking out for me. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come nigh to me. Brother Steve, I'm protected. I believe this. I believe this, my friend. that there is, listen, I believe this, I am bulletproof. He said, well, we'll just see about that. Honey, I believe this. I'm here as long as God wants me to be here. My heart's beating as long as God wants it to be. And when God said, okay, you come on home, then it's going to stop. I'm going. But until that day, I'm bulletproof.
Amen.
I'm not afraid. Amen. All right, read on. I'm getting to something. Verse 10. Oh, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Why should I be afraid? I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. God's looking after me. God's caring for me. He's not going to let the pestilence come upon me. He's not going to let anything happen to me. He's going to protect me from my enemies. They're going to fall to the right. They're going to fall to the left. But God is protecting me.
Amen.
Take a little bit of time. Look down all the way to the last verse. If you got a King James Bible, read this with me. If you're there. With what? I can't hear you. With what?
Long
with long life. You know what that means? With life worth living.
Right.
There's one thing to exist. There's another thing to live. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it what? More abundantly. I want the abundant life. I don't want just to exist. I want to live like Jesus lived. With long life, life worth living. Now watch this. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? How did he get to the long life? Listen to me now. How did he get to that point? How long is long? I don't know. The Bible said that 70 years is the average lifespan of a man, but by reason, if it be 80 years... Hey, 80 sounds good to me. 85, 90, 95. What am I saying? How did he get to that long life? Because he abided under the shadow of the Almighty and he trusted God. He had enough faith to believe this, that nothing, nothing, nothing was going to take him out of here before God wanted him to go. Honey, I got good news for you this morning. If we can get to that point and believe this and trust God and believe God, he'll satisfy us with long life, life that's worth living, enjoy. Listen, we don't have to be old, decrepit, and feeble, and broke down and busted. Hey, we can live for God. Hey, you think about Moses. When God took him home to glory, the Bible said he didn't even have a pair of glasses on. You know what our danger is today? We pronounce curses on ourselves. I'm about done here. Hang with me. It's going to help somebody. We're guilty of this sometimes. I have to be corrected sometimes. How many of you have ever said, you know, I just can't remember like I used to remember. I guess I'm getting old-timers. You just pronounce a curse on yourself. The Bible said, I have the mind of Christ. I can remember. Now, I'm sure all of us forget something every now and then. Big deal, amen? I was with Brother Gerald Cates the other night. He told me some stories I'd forgot 35 years ago. 35 years ago, I don't remember. Now, my wife, she could tell you where we went on vacation 35 years ago. I don't even know what I did 35 years ago. But that don't mean I'm getting Alzheimer's. Amen. Brother Gerald was telling me the other night, Brother Steve, about me and him going out soul winning. He said, preacher, you don't remember that? I know. He said, we went out there under, and there was a man chopping wood, and you got out, and he said, you went over to him, and you said, sir, I want to invite you. We're from Five Forks Baptist Church, and that man just put that axe on his shoulder, and he said, I believe it's best y'all just leave right now. And he said, preacher, you stood there, and you said, well, before we leave, can I ask you something, that if you were to die today, do you know you're going to heaven? He said, he slammed that axe down. He said, I grabbed you by the arm. He said, it's time for us to go, preacher. He said, you don't remember that? And I said, no, I don't remember that. But if you say it, I believe it. There's a lot of things I may not be able to recall, but that don't mean that I'm losing my mind. I think about this, Brother Jeffrey's a good old computer guru. But I think about this. This is the best way I can describe it, Daryl. When you get a computer and it's about full, the memory's about full, you know, you got to delete some stuff. And so I've just deleted some stuff up there, and I've got it replaced with something else. What am I saying? I'm saying this, my friend. I believe the psalmist could say, when I come down to the end of my journey, it's been a good one. Yeah. I'm not decrepit. I haven't lost my mind. I haven't lost my faculties. I've still got the mind of Christ. I'm still serving the Lord. You know why? Because I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Nothing shall come nigh my dwelling. No plagues are going to come nigh my dwelling. Why? Because my Jesus is watching after me. And I'm walking by faith. I'm living by faith. I'm serving Him by faith. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one that holds tomorrow. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I believe this. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll bring you to pass. Miss Joanne, Miss Bonnie, would y'all come help me?